When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, Foo followers around the world. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast with your host, Ben Johnson. Remember, if you want to support this show, we have a donations link available via PayPal. Simply head over to paypal.me/Kung Fu Movie Guide to donate. This podcast is very much a one-man operation, so any donations you make will be greatly received and will be put back into the upkeep of this show. A huge thank you to anyone who has donated to the podcast already. That is fantastic. Thank you so much. To get in touch with the show, you can email me on hello@kungfumovieguide.com. We also have our social media accounts on Instagram and Facebook under the name @kungfumovieguide. We are also on YouTube and X, formerly Twitter, @KFMovieGuide. Keep up to date with all the new episodes of this show as they drop by subscribing wherever it is that you get podcasts. And if you do that, please do leave us a star rating or write a review. That all helps to spread the good word of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. You can also read the latest martial arts movie reviews, access our archive, and find all our contact information via the website kungfumovieguide.com. Thank you for listening to this episode, and now on with the show.
Well, if you're really so determined to have a fight, then I'll oblige.
Hello, everybody, Foo followers around the world. Welcome to the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast, episode 92. Thank you so much for listening wherever you are in the world right now. Welcome to the show. We have another action-packed double bill for you today. Not one, but two great guests who are both part of an incredibly talented generation of German martial artists, stunt performers and filmmakers who are now doing great work over in Hollywood. So later on in today's episode, you will hear my conversation with Vidan Tran, a Jackie Chan stunt team member who worked with Jackie on The Foreigner and Bleeding Steel. He's an incredible wushu performer in his own right and a rising star behind the camera who's worked as an action designer and fight coordinator on Dune Parts 1 and 2, Into the Badlands, the Halo TV show, and most recently Knights of the Zodiac. That film stars Sean Bean, Mark Dacascos and Famke Janssen. But first up, you're going to hear from Lorenz Hideyoshi. He is Timothy Chalamet's stunt double in the Dune movies, both parts 1 and 2. He worked as part of that great action team headed up by Roger Ewan. Lorenz has also done stunt work in Matrix 4, John Wick 4. He's also in Plan B, that great 2016 German martial arts action comedy headed up by the Real Deal stunt team. Lorenz also fought alongside his brother, Felix Fukuyoshi, in the Vietnamese action movie Luc Van Tien back in 2017, starring Andy Long, another incredible German martial artist and filmmaker. We should also say that Felix, Lorenz's brother, is also a very talented filmmaker in his own right. I was a huge fan of Felix's short German movie Duty Out of Line, which he made in 2021, which also stars Julia Czernowicz, who is another great German stunt performer and martial artist. Lorenz and his brother Felix work as part of an independent collective of action filmmakers from Germany. They call themselves the Young Masters. He has also made some very cool short films, which I'll put links to in the podcast description. He's done a great Star Wars one called Dark Jedi, which he made back in 2019. And he's just released a new short film called Daddy Issues. It's got some nice old school kung fu shapes in it. He worked on that with Joseph Lee from Team Red Pro. It also stars Jae Kwon and Terrell Cota Bullock. And it's out now on YouTube. So much incredible talent that has sprung out of Germany over the last few decades. There's Zidane and Lorenz, and obviously Felix, Andy Long, Julia, the real deal action guys. So that's Kan Aydin, Fong Jiang, and Yoon Cha Lee. There's also the former podcast guest Max Wan, of course. He played Kung Lao in the Mortal Kombat movie, and there's probably lots of more that I'm forgetting. Mike Muller, of course, who just did a star turn in Expendables 4. My gosh, just so much great German action talent. There must be something in the water over there or something. I don't know what it is. But anyway, it's all very encouraging. And what makes their success all the more sweeter is that they all continue to work together. They always seem to be jumping in on each other's projects and just generally being very supportive of each other, which is really great to see. So that's today's show. I don't really have too much more to catch you up on, only really to say that if you do enjoy this podcast, remember to tell a friend, share a link to it, anything that you can do to help promote the show and raise its profile, that would be fantastic. We also have a YouTube channel, which is slightly underused, it should be said. However, I am putting together little trailers for each of the new episodes in this run. So if you do want to actually visually see a lot of the stuff that we are talking about on the show, then that is a good place to go to. You'll be able to find a link to our YouTube channel in the podcast description. And also, if you do have any questions for me, the best thing to do is to send me an email. The email address is hello@kungfumovieguide.com. Okay, we've got a lot to get through today, so let's get going with my conversation with Lorenz Hideyoshi. This conversation with Lorenz took place over Zoom in September of this year, 2023. He was in Budapest and I was here in London. Now, there was a bit of a technical issue when this conversation took place, and the technical issue was that I actually only noticed halfway through the conversation that my microphone wasn't on. So that's a bit awkward, and obviously not really a technical issue. I think we can put that down more to human error, me being an idiot. But anyway, it was a fun chat. So instead of calling Lorenz again and redoing the conversation, you are actually about to hear the backup recording, which is taken direct from Zoom. So the quality of this conversation might not be up to the same usual standard that you're used to on the Kung Fu Movie Guy podcast. But actually, in editing this and listening back to it, I don't think it's too bad. So look, this hasn't happened before in over 90 episodes that we've been doing this show, so maybe it was just time for something like this to happen. Anyway, Lorenz's latest project is a short film called Daddy Issues. He stars in it, as well as co-writing and co-directing with Joseph Lee. It's available now on YouTube. Okay, here we go then. Here is my slightly low quality chat with the very talented on-screen fighter, stunt performer and filmmaker Lorenz Hideyoshi. I wanted to ask you, Lorenz, because you act and you direct, you write, you operate the camera, you do action directing, mm-hmm. You do animation.
Yeah, it's true.
You play the guitar that yeah. I saw. Do you have something that you favour more than the others?
So I would call myself a filmmaker, really, mostly. Yeah. A filmmaker and artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to be in front and behind the camera, just equally. It's just everything about the filmmaking process is really interesting to me. And when it comes to talents that I've developed, like playing guitar and painting and drawing and all that, it's just I was always a very driven kid, I guess, and just tried to dabble with so many different artistic fields, and from early childhood, I really started to get into all these things, and I tried to pursue them equally well at the same time. That's just how I am personally, I guess. And so it wasn't on purpose, really, that I tried to build a career. Really, it was just me following my passion as a young kid, and doing what I love to do. And eventually, I was lucky enough to build a career from this.
I mean, it's the dream, isn't it? Because you're combining your creative passions with obviously the martial arts. I believe you studied martial arts from quite a young age. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. I trained from when I was 9 years old, I started Taekwondo, and yeah. I did that for about 7 years, and then I switched to Shaolin Kung Fu that for about 5 years. Yeah, back in Germany.
With your brother, Felix?
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah, we started at the same time. We followed the same passions, really. And then we also started making films all the way back in 2002, I believe. Yeah, yeah. So when we decided we wanted to get a camera and try some independent action filmmaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a long time ago, yeah.
There's so much talent in the martial arts movie scene that has come out of Germany.
Yeah.
You know, yourself and your brother, but also, you know, Max Swan and Andy
true.
Long and Vidan as well.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, it's an amazing scene. And, you know, and I love that all you guys have always been jumping into each other's projects as well over the years. That's really cool. It seems like it's quite a supportive little sort of group of people you've got there. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just amazing how many people are around that you can collaborate with in Germany. It's like very surprising, honestly. I have no idea how this came about that now we have so many German people working in this industry. It's quite amazing. Yeah, it's interesting.
Okay, if we were to bring it up to speed with Daddy Issues, which I know is a short film that you've just released. I believe you only had a couple of days to sort of turn that one around. Is that right?
Yeah, it's true. We shot just for 2 days. It was one of those spontaneous projects, which I personally really like to do. I got to go to LA, and in my spare time, I just met up with Team Red Pro, and I brought the idea forward that I wanted to shoot something small, you know, and they were really eager and excited to do that. And so we did that. We planned something for 2 days, 2 afternoons, and we shot that in just 2 days.
And that then, was with Jay Kwan and Terrell.
Terrell, yes, and then Joseph Lee.
These guys are stunt people as well, martial artists. You know, they're trained. Yes. They can very quickly just turn it around, I suppose.
Yeah, for sure. Multi-talents themselves. We shot that all the way back in May last year.
Wow.
So it only just came out. So that's over a year ago. Yeah, it's crazy because the post-production took forever. I really wanted to have the fight to be a bit longer, actually. So then I decided I'll make this whole animated sequence and challenge myself. And I worked on that for so many months. And I almost gave up midway, honestly, but it was really a rewarding experience in the end. And I'm glad it's finally out.
Yeah, it's wonderful. That end sequence, that's
Thank
quite
you.
A long bit of anime. Is that sort of the longest that you've done?
Anime? Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I've tried some animating before, like hand-drawn animation, which is even more challenging.
Mm.
But I've been practicing 3D stuff for many years. So this time I really wanted to try and see if I can create an anime sequence in 3D. And make it look 2D. I knew I could do it. I was practicing like smaller things, and I thought, okay, this project is perfect. It's a perfect opportunity for me to challenge myself and try this. And then I went full out, and then did just that.
I've got to talk about the choreography as well, because you mentioned Snake and the Eagle Shadow in there for a bit, and there is a lot of throwbacks to the old style kung fu movies. So
yeah, for sure.
Is that something that you still look to? Do you still feel inspired, you know, when you see that type of kung fu movies?
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, I don't really even watch newer things that much. I still go back to the old classics and watch the 70s and 80s Hong Kong action films. Yeah. And that's the biggest inspiration for me always. And trying to emulate that style and aesthetics and all that. The little... homage to Snake and the Eagle Shadow there. I just threw that in. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Because Jay and Terrell ended up doing a Snake and Eagle combo, you know. So it was very
Yeah, it's great.
Thing I thought, you know.
You've made quite a few short films as well in the past. I just wondered, how does this compare to, you know, some of the other things you've made? Was this more challenging or quite easy?
It wasn't easy, definitely not. I mean, but there was a lot of experience in coming together, I think. I would honestly say I'm quite proud of this one, actually, Daddy Issues. I like it quite a bit.
Oh! Teacher!
I was wondering how that must contrast with some of the bigger films that you've done, because you must see a lot when you're on a really, you know, a huge movie set, whether it's Matrix, Resurrections, whether it's Dune, Charlie's Angels, whatever. Like, do you see action in those films being quite conflicted in a way?
Definitely. You can see both nowadays. I think they make amazing imagery, right? These big Hollywood DPs, absolutely. But then sometimes it's just interesting how they struggle with shooting action efficiently, or they have their own ways of doing it, and it's not wrong, but I mean, it's just different, you know. And it was definitely like that on Dune. It was shot in a very, very, I mean, it was shot in a fitting way that helped realize the vision of the and tone of the movie. But I mean, among the action team, we would tell each other, okay, we would have shot this differently, and we were a bit disappointed sometimes seeing how they did certain things. But you know, it's their movie, it's their vision, and on Dune One, it was definitely there was no input from the action department on how to shoot it. But interesting, on Dune Two, they were a little more open in collaborating with the stunt department and actually taking some advice from our team. We actually also got to previs a little bit, and they did look at the previses and got inspiration on how to shoot certain things. So that was great. So it was a good step in the
right
direction,
great.
I believe.
You doubled Timothy Chalamet in the first Dune. Are you doubling him again in the sequel?
Yep. Yeah, yep. I did both movies, yes, Dune 1 and 2. Fortunate to do that. And shout out to Roger Yuen and Vidan Tran at this point for trusting me and bringing me onto both movies.
Yeah,
it was a great time. Unforgettable.
How do you find being a stunt double in a movie like that? Because I'm guessing that probably, I know there's probably insurance reasons, but all actors always say, well, I did my own action, or I trained for 6 months for this role. And is it a case of like, he would say, oh, I'm going to do this one, or I'm going to sit this one out? Or how does that work?
First of all, it was an amazing experience to do that that job, doubling the lead. There was unforgettable time for me. I mean, it really depends on the actor, I would say. Like, some actors have a background in martial arts, some don't. We try to train the actors to get to a certain level. We have a, you know, set time frame to do that. I mean, in the end, the final product is really the most important thing in the eyes of the director, of the filmmakers. I mean, there's definitely insurance reasons, and also physical ability, and it's just a balance, and finding the right making the right choices in who does what at any given time.
Dune 2 doesn't come out till next year, so we're a bit of a way off.
Unfortunately,
got delayed the release, but I mean, I cannot wait to see Dune 2.
Same.
I mean, I love the movie. Yeah. But a good shoot, enjoyable shoot.
Absolutely. It's just, like I said, it was totally mind-blowing experience for me, especially the first one, because at that point I had not done anything comparable. Smaller things. I mean, I was on some big movies before, like Six Underground.
Yeah.
But Dune was just on another level. And when I got the call, I was like, holy shit, I can't believe this. Because I also knew Dune before. I grew up watching the old movie and then being inspired by the artwork and stuff. And to just get that call and, you know, you're doubling the lead. That was mind-blowing. Yeah. And then
incredible.
It was just such an unforgettable experience. Never forget that. Yep.
And working with your friend, Vidan Tran.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah, there was an added bonus for sure.
Not bad. Not bad.
I know you worked on John Wick Chapter 4 as well as a stunt.
That's not really worth mentioning, honestly. Yeah. I was there for, I don't know, not even a week, I think. And I really ended up doing nothing, really. I was just
really
It's actually kind of funny because I was introduced as a thug in the Paris street sequence. Yeah. You can actually see me sitting at a table with one of the Japanese stunt guys.
Yeah.
You just see the back of my head, and then Keanu walks in, and he takes on all these thugs, and there's the big car action scene. And for some reason, they forgot to kill me off, you know. So all the other stunt guys, they died, and I did not. And I just disappear.
Okay.
It's kind of funny. So I didn't even do any stunt work on John Wick 4.
It's a pretty easy job then, by the sounds of things. Keanu, you would have worked with on Matrix as well, Matrix Resurrections.
Yeah, I got to work with him previously on Matrix 4.
Yeah.
So I got to see him again on John Wick 4.
Yeah, you were doubling Jonathan Groff for that. Yep. And there is a fight scene with Keanu, isn't there, in that film?
There's a pretty big fight scene in the bathroom.
That's the one.
Yep. It's interesting because on that fight, Jonathan ended up doing pretty much all the fighting. Like, he did all the fighting himself. And it was just for a few more risky things where he could get hurt that I stepped in to do the doubling. And later, my friend Li Huang also doubled him for a little bit at the end because I got injured. I got injured on Matrix 4 and had to leave the project, unfortunately. Yep, I broke my right fibula, actually. Yeah.
Gosh.
That was quite nasty, yeah.
How did you do that?
I mean, it was... I don't want to talk too much about it, but it was during rehearsals, and it was kind of unnecessary thing to happen. I was... Didn't go well, honestly, that whole thing.
Oh no!
But yeah, it is what it is. Stunt work is dangerous always.
This is what I was going to say. It's you've got to be fearless, really, in a way. But yeah. I know it's all sort of planned out, and you work with good coordinators, and it's safety first.
Absolutely, yes.
But it's still a person doing the stuff, you know, and accidents can happen, can't they?
Yeah, for sure. That's always part of the job. I mean, you can get hurt, and you can even die. People have died, and it's extremely unfortunate when it happens.
What did you make of The Matrix 4 when you saw it?
I mean, we can be honest, I guess. I mean, I really didn't like it.
Yeah.
There. Sorry. I just.
I don't think you're the only person who has that opinion.
Many people don't like it. It's just, it was unnecessary. It was just not something that should have been made, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It was just, I believe it was a studio decision, you know, cashing in more money and then, you know, making another film just because they can. It's just not a good idea, honestly. It's just, if you finish a story, then just leave it as it is, and then don't ruin it with another sequel that doesn't add anything and even takes away from the franchise, I believe. I just basically don't count the fourth Matrix. For me, it's just a trilogy.
All right. Let me try some of your kung fu.
You're in Plan B as well, which I guess was sort of a really big calling card, not just for, you know, real deal, the stunt team, but just for German action cinema as well. Your involvement in that film, I know you played a baddie in that movie.
Yeah, well, there was actually one of my first bigger opportunities to be part of a bigger feature film.
Yeah,
I had just moved to Berlin back in 2013, and I think we shot that in 2014. I got the call. I was there in Berlin. Circumstances were right, and they brought me on, and I was really grateful to do that. Very excited. I remember giving my all in choreographing this with Fong and. From Real Deal, and it was a super intense one-day shoot just for that fight.
Wow, that was done in a day.
We did that in one day, actually not even a full day. We started after lunch, and then we just pushed through like crazy. I was having energy drinks nonstop.
Yeah.
one of the most intense shooting days, definitely for me.
Yeah.
It was just 10 years ago now. Yeah.
It's like the lost... Three Dragons movie, isn't it? You could imagine Sammo and Yen-Yu and Jackie Chan being in that movie.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, it was honestly a dream project for for independent martial artists like us to be able to have creative reign over the action and control it 100%. And, you know, to get the funding to do that, there was a unique opportunity for us. And it, I mean, we were so lucky that the film got picked up by 20th Century Fox later. There was amazing news. I mean, I didn't expect that at all. But it still didn't do too well, I have to say. It's just a niche market still. Like German martial arts, no one really cares that much.
Yeah.
Even though among action filmmakers, in the independent scene, I think it's people like it quite a bit. I mean, I'm quite happy with what they've made. It's a quite entertaining film, I believe. There's a recent news actually that Plan B is going to be remade in the US.
In the States,
That's actually quite unbelievable news. That's amazing if that's gonna happen for real. Sylvester Stallone is involved, I believe. That's some huge news.
That's big news. I mean,
we'll see.
Will you get to reprise your role? I wonder.
Yeah. I really don't know, but I mean,
that would be amazing.
It's up in the stars, really.
yeah. You got to fight with your brother as well in Luc Van Tien, which is Andy Long's movie.
Another amazing project to be part of. It was two unforgettable months in Vietnam, shooting that with a team, with such an amazing team. Like, there's also Andy Lee and Brian Lee, the Lee brothers from the Marshall Club, involved. And it was just intense and super awesome time to do this. Just a really similar thing. We had full control over the action, and it was pure teamwork. It can't get
the results are amazing. What was it like working your brother? Was that the first time you'd done a movie together?
Yeah, well, a big production. Yeah, that's pretty much the first one we got to work on together. But I mean, of course, in previous years we did our independent shorts for many years, and
You get to have this 2-on-1 fight at the end with Andy. It's just the fight scenes in that film are just sensational. I mean, you couldn't get a better Jackie Chan style throwback, isn't it? It's quite sensational.
I only wish we could have had more time. I think for me, it always comes down to time. For some reason, we never have enough time to shoot something properly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you compare it to a Jackie Chan movie, he shoots some scenes for months. I mean, Drunken Master 2, he shot it for several months. It's such a luxury to have. And imagine if we had just even another extra day, we could have refined things.
Yeah, but this is the amazing thing, the quality that you do get, even though you do have such a short period of time. It's still amazing what you guys can achieve.
It's interesting because for me personally, also time pressure is very... It helps me to get into a zone, a creative zone, and really brings out the best, I believe, because it's just that you have a set time frame, you know what to do, and you have to just get into gears and just go for it 100%.
Hey, hey, hey! You really should be ashamed. Do you call that a punch?
If you want to get into the stunt business, I mean, it really doesn't hurt to learn both performing in front of the camera and also learning some camera stuff, you know, how to operate a camera, how to do action design, how to find the best angles to showcase action.
Yeah, just get a camera, start filming.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays it's so easy, you know. We didn't have this luxury back then, not at all. And nowadays you have no excuses, really. You have a smartphone, you can shoot or whatever. I mean, people do it. Already, right? There's so much content nowadays. Everybody shoots something. Really,
and look where it can take you as well. I mean, look at the Marshall Club boys. You know, they were up at the Oscars this year. So,
great example.
Not too bad, hey? Yeah,
for sure.
So, what does the future hold then? Are you sort of auditioning and for sort of bigger acting roles, or are you looking to sort of progress in the directing world, or what's what do you think?
That's a tricky question for me to answer. I wish I had a clearer answer, but I've always been someone who goes with the flow mostly. I have passions that I follow, and opportunities come from that, from following those passions. Mm. So I've always been grateful for that I can do this, because just doing what you love to do, and then people give you work. That's really ideal, I think. as far as the future, I guess I just keep doing what I do, even though I'm getting really rusty and my body is, I can feel it with every project. It's so tough to still perform.
Really?
But, as long as it's possible, I will.
Yeah, you've just got to keep training as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I should definitely train more. I'm just too lazy, honestly. I could be doing so much more, and I should be, you know, nearing 40.
Well, look, I mean, we've got the Expendables 4 out at the moment. These guys are still out there. They're still kicking ass and still doing it. Like, you know, age.
It's just a number, right? They say always adjust your performance. It's also interesting to watch a 60-year-old person do some performing, you know, that has its own charm, I guess.
Exactly.
So it's never too late. I guess just got to keep training so you don't get hurt.
Well, Lorenz, whatever path you take, I'll certainly be watching. I love the way you move and, you know, the things that you've made as well. So yeah, just keep kicking ass, keep going with it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Stop it. Li Tonghao, what do you want? I want one of your men.
Lorenz Hideyoshi there. Thank you, Lorenz. Really great to chat to Lorenz, and I do hope that the quality of that recording was okay, listeners. It's less than ideal, I know, and it won't happen again. A momentary lapse in concentration, let's just put it down to that. Anyway, get all the latest Lorenz Hideyoshi news and information by following him on Instagram. His name there is at Lorenz Hideyoshi. You can also check out his YouTube channels. He has his own, which is under his full name, which is Lorenz Hideyoshi Ru, which is R-U-W-W-E. And also he has a channel for his work as part of Young Masters. Links to all of those things will be in the podcast description, plus a link to his new short film, Daddy Issues. Well worth a look if you've got a spare 4 minutes and 53 seconds. Also worth mentioning too is the Amazon Studios remake of Plan B that we talked about there. That was announced in Deadline back in July 2022. The original star Kan Aydin will serve as an exec producer, and yes, Sylvester Stallone is one of the producers. Plan B was such a great fun movie, and we are very excited to hear news of that Hollywood remake. We'll be sure to update you as that project develops. Link to more details in the podcast description.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And as Lorenz mentioned there, he has worked on both of the Dune movies alongside my second guest on today's show, who is Vidan Tran. And there's actually a cool little clip of both Lorenz and Vidan sparring while they're working on Dune. It's about 15 seconds long, but it really demonstrates just how great these guys are at fight choreography and their movements. Very slick. I'll be sure to put a link to that in the description. Vidan is down as utility stunts on Dune 1. He's co-fight coordinator for the sequel, which I cannot wait to see. Dune Part 2 will be released on the 15th of March 2024, so there's still a little bit of a wait on that. There is a teaser trailer out there if you haven't seen that already. There's quite a bit of Dune chat on this, and I don't think we spoil anything, but anyway, if you haven't seen Denis Villeneuve's incredible Dune movie from 2021, then I do think that is something you probably should rectify. Vidan is a Jackie Chan stunt team member. His credits include Into the Badlands, Shang-Chi, Halo, and his latest project is Knights of the Zodiac. It's a live-action martial arts fantasy based on the Japanese manga Saint Seiya. Vidan worked as action designer on that movie, working closely with Andy Cheng, and actually Andy's name does come up quite a bit during this conversation. Knights of the Zodiac is out now on digital platforms. So this recording was actually done a long time ago. It was recorded way back in August 2022. So, gosh, that's over a year ago. Now, regular listeners will know that sometimes these conversations do take a little while to surface on this podcast, but I think even by my standards, this is probably a new record. And I messaged Vidan recently just to say that I was going to put this conversation out, and he replied saying that he'd actually forgotten all about actually doing the interview in the first place. So there we are. Thank you anyway for your patience, Vidan. And one final little note, there is a little bit of swearing on this one. If that does bother you, or maybe have young children running about and listening in, then you have been warned about that. Okay, without any further delay, I think it's time that we sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with the multi-talented action filmmaker Vidan Tran. Can you say what you're working on? Is that okay?
Let me think. okay. Funny enough, because you're aware of the movie, right? We're working.
I've deduced, because on your Instagram you said you were in Budapest working on a sequel, and I'm pretty sure. I can probably deduce what the film is. Does that get you out of trouble if I just guess? Because I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, you can guessing. I'm just excited.
Is it June 2?
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh shit. Yeah. Okay. Was that too obvious?
No, not at all. Well, the only reason I know that, well, I was thinking back because I was speaking to, so I've got a buddy who's working on Old Guard 2 at the moment. Okay, so I was thinking, well, it's not going to be that because he's in Rome at the moment. So so the other big sequel I was thinking is probably Dune. So so that's probably just because I had a bit of insider information. But just on Dune, I mean, first of all, what an amazing project to have been a part of. I mean, you must have been over the moon when you saw Dune for the first time. I mean, it's something special, isn't it, to have been a part of that?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We spent like over, how long was it? Like eight months. From the pre-production, or not pre-production, for the preps to full the shooting, and then in the end, of course, nearly to the end to wrap the movie. And I was super excited because, of course, Denis, the director, he's amazing. And I'm already incredible director, and I love his movies before already, like Blade Runner, Sicario, like all the movies are amazing.
Yeah.
Or Arrival is so great too. And I was just super pumped and excited to see it, and of course to see it later. I just wondering where I were. I think I was in Budapest.
Was yeah.
I? I think, I mean, later when it came out, I was in Budapest. Yes, so, was in Budapest last year while we are shooting Night of Zodiac, Saint Seiya.
Yeah.
So I went with the team to watch it. It was an amazing experience.
Your involvement in Dune was pretty intensive then, because you were obviously dealing with the prep and the previs side as well as, you know, working, you know, in the production. I mean, what was your overall role then on Dune? Because it sounds like you were really, you know, you were really involved.
It's quite a difficult question, actually, because normally it's very clear. So it's always when I got a job, it's very pretty much a very precise and very clear what I'm doing. But this time it was a little bit not difficult, but it was a little bit different. So Roger Yuen, He's the fight coordinator of
fight
this
coordinator.
Movie.
Yes, legend.
Yeah, I mean, I worked with him on Skyfall already, so that's just the time when I know him, I knew him, and we are quite close since then. And then he was asking if I would be interested to help him out to do some performings, to do some fights, because he knows or he was aware that I do a lot of sword fights, like that's one of my thing. Especially in that time, I was posting after Badlands a lot of new choreos, previous and by myself with my team.
Yeah,
just to have fun, just to do some homework. And then he was a little bit inspired, and he asked me, "Hey, you want to join me?" He has potentially an upcoming movie where it will be the fight coordinator. And I was like, I'm interested. But first of all, I just want to say, I have to tell you, since 2017, 16, I stopped doing stunt performing. Because Andy Cheng, who is my big brother, also from Jackie Chan's stunt team, we had like a big philosophy and big talk. And he saw with the potential in me more as a filmmaker, or in general, that I'm very talented to do camera work and etc. So I was like struggling in that moment to go maybe a new path, because in general I still love performing. I still very fit and I'm training and I'm a martial artist. But for one point in my life, I felt like there's a bigger picture, not as a performer, but in general for myself to have more responsibility, because my passion, my fully passion, and what I really love to do is actually designing camera work, choreos, and then helping other people to bring better action cinema on screen. That's actually my proper passion or my proper goal. Yeah.
And the work of a stunt performer is, I mean, by its very nature, I mean, you do get older people doing it, but it is... you know, the body can only take so much.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, but I know so many stunt performers, they are already over 40 or even 50.
Yeah.
And even Roger, he's super fit. He still can perform. But I think it's just a mindset. For me, in the very beginning, I felt like I have fun, but I personally enjoy more the camera. Like to create something. That's just me. And I see other people, they're really dying for to be in front of camera. They really want to be on camera, or in general to live. You can see in their face. They're like super happy, the enjoyment. Yeah. And then afterwards, wow, in good way to say and to admit they are very proud of their product when they are on screen. For me, for example, when I'm on screen, of course, I say, okay, I get excited to see myself. Okay, that was a good take and see the energy. That's good. But in the end of the day, I always judging the camera first. I'm always like seeing, okay, what happened with the camera here? Is it, you know, the old process? So then long story short, for me, I noticed, I think I wanted to be, I get more excited when I catch someone else in the camera. And I'm doing the operating, or catching the feeling, telling the stories, and so on. When Roger called me to get the job as a performer, as a double, as like doing choreography work, etc., I said, in the first beginning, sorry, but I cannot do this. I mean, I really admire and I really appreciate the request, but for me, I don't want to do stunts. So that was my mindset. But then he said, "No, okay, wait a second. Okay, in this case, he's actually looking for like an assistant or someone he can do also previous a choreo, because that's a catch. Some people like there's not that much people that want to be in the back behind the camera. There are a lot of fight coordinators, yes, but or choreographer or whatever. But mostly, like I would say, 70%, they wish to be also on screen." Because that's the original idea why they became. And then all of a sudden, no, I cannot. Okay, at least I'm in the industry. Okay, I'm a fight choreographer. Or I'm a coordinator. Or something like that.
Yeah.
But the heart, the proper heart, where what they actually want is performing or to be on screen. But for me, it's opposite. And then we had like 2 weeks preps in Czech. And then from there, we started to develop a little bit, because Danny, he wants to have, he liked it to have fast motion. And for him, for example, he said he isn't a martial artist, so he doesn't know anything about it. But the only thing what he likes, what he knows, is what he likes to see, visuals.
Yeah.
And for him, it was always like fast speed. He doesn't like too slow and like too slow beats and breakaway, like a WWF, something like that. He likes more like not Hong Kong style, but more faster and like kind of almost real. So long story short, so a watcher called me as assistant, I would say fight coordinator or assistant fight choreographer, because he was the proper coordinator. And I was jumping here and there. Because I was doing mostly choreography with him. So with him together and with team, I helped to choreograph all fight scenes. So we developed together the Atreides style, the Fremen style, the Harkonnen style, and based on Silat, Philippine martial arts, and so on.
And, I was going to say it's got that Kali kind of vibe to it, hasn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, exactly. So it's inspired by Kali, inspired by Balint Thawak. That's what the style we are really looking into.
And Vidania must have been so impressed with the actors as well, Jason Momoa and Josh Brolin in particular. I mean, you know, these guys do action or have done action before, but you must have been impressed with, you know, the work they put in as well for the choreo.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like in the process, like also working with Danny and with Greg, the DOP, Greg Fraser. So it was interesting for me because you mentioned about, and also now talking about previous, we didn't have any previous in Doom 1.
Really?
No previous. It's just because he's very specific, and Danny, the director, he's very specific in what he wants to. And it was better for him to see everything in a white first, and then he would like to catch it how he goes by. And I think it's also because based on Blade Runner and all the movies, how the stunts. Because I totally understand, because normally when you go as a stunts in the stunt department, they're providing for a previous. Mostly they're shooting on 60 mil, 20 mil, or as fast as they can, or fisheye is better. And then go close and you see all the crazy fancy camera movements.
Yeah.
You know, like because the most of the stunts, the community, they see it as a stunts. And then they want to shoot it as a stunts, because that's the action.
You've always been an advocate for the previs, though, haven't you? You know, get all the prep done, so you're essentially, when you're there on the location, you can just very quickly check the previs, you know, and then drop in the shots. I guess that's probably because, you know, if you're working on a lower budget or a smaller film, you just don't have the time, do you, I guess? But that must have been strange being on Dune and just having all that time.
Yeah, it was quite different for me, definitely. Yeah. Because so for me, it was like my mindset was, okay, it's weird. Why we shouldn't? Because after my other project where I have done, it was more. It is just more convenient if you have a previous. But previous is kind of like a blueprint. It's kind of like a storyboard, mood board, to see how the action could be, especially in all logistics, even if it's takes, setups, how many times, special effects, visual effects, everyone can learn from the previous, and that helps everyone. But in this case, it was like, oh, okay, we are not allowed to do a previous, okay, what should we do? For me, it was kind of a challenge to see also to create choreography without camera. It's also very exciting because fighting with or working with Jason, for example, or with Josh or with Timothy, we had so much more action and so long. Actually, Jason Momoa's fight is pretty long. It's actually very long. So what we saw in the movie was quite short. And they cut it down massive, but it was for me, to be honest, I feel it's a good choice, because Dune wasn't and shouldn't be or wasn't planned to be an action movie. That was also Danny what he always.
There's a lot of action in it, though.
Yeah,
there's a lot of action.
Yeah, but I mean, compared to commercial martial arts or action movies like old Marvel, right? So that's what he was always telling us in the beginning. he doesn't want to do a martial arts or action movie. It's about sci-fi. It's about the setup. So it's the, so that means the action is only to serve the story mostly, but as much as it's needed only, and then it goes on.
Do you get frustrated though sometimes, Vidam, when you see the finished product, so then you know how much, you know, blood, tension, sweat, and tears went into doing, you know, the choreo or designing action, and then, you know, you watch the finished film and it's literally a few seconds on the screen, or entire sections are just, you know, cut out completely. I mean, how do you feel about that?
I'm actually a very easygoing guy. I feel like if it's too short or if they cut down, I don't mind. If it's, again, if it serves for the story, it's totally fine. Because that's also one rule: never marry to the choreo. Never marry too much to your work. There's only what you providing, what you contribute to the movie. And the best what you can do is the best serving, because we are servers only. We do only a service. Yes. It's not our movie, right? What I really feel like, a little bit sad about is only, or disappointed. It's just about sometimes, you know, you see action is always cut down. I don't mind if it's shorter. I don't mind. But if the cut points are not on the right spot, or the pacing or the rhythm is destroyed just because they never had a communication or conversation about it, then I feel, the camera is like, they didn't catch it. Because sometimes I see in the edit what happened. I like in the full ending product of any action movies, I can see, okay, that's potentially an editor who had A cam and B cam and C material for camera. And then he does know, he didn't know, or he doesn't know how to choose. So he used all of them. So then all of a sudden you see, okay, one action, four cuts. So let's say a big stunt, okay, four cuts in between. Because you have those three, five cameras. And then the editor, he has no connection and no bonding to anything like in the process. So he's like, okay, no, there's four cameras, I have to use them. And that's wrong. That's wrong.
Goose fist. I'll turn you into a goose, you stupid fool.
Bringing that up to speed with the stuff you've done for Halo, which is on Paramount Plus now. I mean, how does that experience compare to working on something like Badlands? Are they two very different experiences? Because I've seen the previs footage as well now that you've put online for Halo, and that's amazing stuff as well. So, yeah, I'm just wondering how do those two compare?
I know, it was really funny. I mean, for me, Halo was very stressful. I have to be honest, very stressful. It's just because Halo is a little bit cursed. It's a cursed project. They have been for prepping and like everything since 7 years, and then it's really like
that
from
long.
The day one, like prep everything 7 years. I think even longer, but for this specific season or TV show, it was 7 year process. There were so many behind the scenes, like backstories, what happened, showrunner changed and producer getting the right.
Well, Spielberg, has Spielberg always been involved for that long, or did Spielberg come in a bit later?
I haven't seen. Actually, no. I actually didn't know about Steven Spielberg. I heard of it that he was kind of involved, but I never experienced or never seen him. There wasn't actually a communication while we were shooting. But then later was, of course, obviously COVID happened, and then they spent like 2 years in full production, so everything was quite long, and I came late in. I came late in because Jonathan Liebesman, who was the director, he brought me into the show, who was also working with Al and Miles from Badlands, the showrunner and producer. So that's the connection. And I get recommended by the producer, and then Jonathan Liebesman, okay, get me the boy. I want to work with him. So when I joined them, I saw everything already, not fell apart, but it was like very messy. So I try to clean up as much as I can, like talking to the visual effects department, talking to the props, because props was not quite there yet. The costume is very heavy, really, really heavy. I think 20 kilos or something like that. Oof. And it's or even more. It's so uncomfortable for the performer. So we have to deal with all the stuff, even the wires. And but it was a great experience for me, is because definitely we did, and I was allowed to do previews, and a lot of previews, like thousands of changes. But I don't mind, because I know it's always like that. A previous shouldn't lock anything. It's always a blueprint. We explore as much as we can to get the right action for the story or for the scene. And then on a day, or when the director says, "No, I would like to have more, I don't know, more drama in this. Where's the drama? Where's the fun? Where's the story? And where's that?" So, okay, no problem. And Jonathan is like that. And I love to work with Jonathan, because Jonathan, he is straightforward. He's not pushing. He's not, can you? He has a quite proper vision, which I really like. Of course, it can change next day, because as a director, you have so much to do and so much stress as well. So sometimes you get wrong. But if you don't take it, for me personally, as a consulting, not personal, so it's mostly just serving again, like, you know, I'm working and helping, then it's everything's okay. So in the end, we changed until the shooting, we changed a lot. And then, but then we changed again after the shooting in mocap, in the visual effects world. And that was an experience where I never seen or experienced before. Because I never saw that is actually possible to do, because we shot already, but don't worry, we do stitches and we do the magic in the post. And then I saw,
so that's the reshoots.
Exactly, the reshoots, but only in post. And I was like, that's incredible.
That's late late in the day.
Yeah, I mean, that's never, I could never imagine that was possible. For example, we had like a shot, he's running, he's shooting, whatever, and for the final fight. So that was also the tricky part. They called me in after COVID, and I had to do the final fight of the TV show, the episode 9. And this final fight was the first action scene what they ever had shot for the whole TV show. Because of so much troubles. And I was like, guys, that's so much pressure. So everyone's not dialed in yet as a team. Then a new guy, me, come in to try to help and like solve the problems. And then everyone after COVID are not really quite there yet. Because especially with the COVID, we have to try to deal everything. And then we shoot the final fight, final ending. Damn, that's fucking hard. But but it was fun, still fun, because I see, again, like a challenge. What can you do? Could you do only the best what you can?
I'm sensing you're a bit of a gamer then, Vidan. I know you've worked Cyberpunk 2077. You did an Assassin's Creed short as well, Halo as well. So are you into your video games?
I'm definitely a gamer, a proper gamer. But I haven't played Halo. I haven't.
No. Oh, right. Interesting.
Because I'm a PlayStation guy.
It's always been a challenge to adopt video games to the big screen. As a gamer yourself, and as someone who has made, you know, films, short films based on video games, I mean, what are the main challenges, do you think, with that?
The biggest challenge which pops up in my head straight away is to be as precise and accurate as possible for the fans. I mean, especially for Halo, that was, I don't know, to be honest, I haven't seen the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, I actually haven't seen it. Because, there was sort of bad reviews and everything. I said, okay. but I heard mostly because my friend, who I brought also in, he's a my fight coordinator assistant, Kai Fung. He is one of the biggest Halo fan ever. He knows he knows the whole universe, everything. And he's also quite good martial artist. And we had a lot of discussion and conversation about the world. And when I do, for example, even as a fan film or whatever, I do always my study first, my homework, to try to learn about the whole universal first. Because for me, that's definitely, me as a gamer, that's the first thing what you have to do, you have to understand the whole concept. And I feel like, yeah, because I heard some fans, they don't like the story, how they went to.
That's the challenge, isn't it? Because I think either you're gonna tackle it from, we're just gonna serve the fans, or, you know, a property like Halo and a big TV series, they're probably thinking, well, we're launching a whole new streaming platform, and this is one of the, you know, flagship shows that we're launching it with. It needs to be more accessible than just it being for the hardcore following. And it's a tricky balance then, because then it's really hard to please either side. You know?
Yeah. 100%. I mean, but sometimes, like the Mandalorian, for example, it works too.
Yes. Yeah.
He took one or two times the helmet off, but with the reason.
Yeah.
But it works the whole time. And I feel like that's always difficult because, exactly. When you see a filmmaker perspective, a fan perspective, but the proper bridge is not built there yet.
Your skill in Kung Fu is renowned. I'd like to compliment you, Mr. Wong.
You're from Germany. There's this whole generation, and you're part of this generation where, you know, it's yourself, it's Andy Long, you know, Max Wan as well, Lorenz, Felix, you know,
it's amazing. Yeah,
absolutely. Been following these guys and all their little projects that they're doing, and, you know, it's just an amazing scene in Germany, it seems. You know, all you guys,
you know,
growing up and training together and all that. So when you film in Germany, you must love doing that, because I guess you can call on all these, you know, all these guys to sort of rock up and appear in your movies. That's what it seems like anyway. Is that fair to say? Is that what it's like?
Yes, it is. All the names that you mentioned just now, we are very close friends.
Yeah.
Like in our community or in Germany, there's not that much hatred or hate or jealousy.
Yeah.
We are so close because we know how hard it is to grow or to step up, especially in Germany, because we don't have any action or no genre. We don't have that.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, you know, it's well, you guys have sort of created that, haven't you, I guess, as a sort of DIY team.
Yeah.
you know.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's great. But I guess, the German film industry, I mean what's it like even... I mean, it's probably similar to the UK. Like, we don't make action films here. I mean, I know that, you know, Hollywood, and I know action films are made here, but like, as to British cinema, it's not known for action cinema. I guess Germany is similar. Is that fair?
Same. I think even worse. I think. Yeah. I mean, there's no proper community or genre for action at all. I mean, for me, it's I'm still struggling in general to find the right answer, and then also to see how it goes in the future. I don't know if you know, I studied directing and cinematography. That's my academic, I would say, degree background. That's what I actually go through. And then stunts was like a side job. So that's what I did, and then obviously I could combine them together, and then became action designing more to have this kind of bridge. But in Germany, I worked only once or twice in Germany as a stunt for the little TV shows. It was very in the beginning, but since I'm now more overseas, I never worked in Germany anymore. But now it just happened. This year, before I went to this production here in Budapest, I was very happy and had the privilege to work as action director for a German movie now, for a Netflix movie. It calls it Blood and Gold, and that, for me, this is a not a title in general. It's just I'm very happy about this opportunity. My name got dropped by other producer and director because they are looking for a stunt guy or choreographer or whatever who can also operate and is visual strong with the story. And then they called me. We had a lot of the conversation, very hard negotiation about budget and everything, but in the end of the day we made it shorter days, which is also very funny because there's supposed to be one fight. Before it was like 3 days, but then they gave me only 1 day. because there's also like a lot of drama, pickups, whatever. But in the end of the day, again, challenge accepting, no excuses. So we shot the whole thing in one day. And my request was I need the full control and the power and responsibility of the set. I don't want to work in this situation. Like I come in and I have a camera operator. He knows the best. I know this guy. He knows the best. And I'm just trying to deal with the people, because I knew the schedule is tight, money is tight, everything's tight. When you want to have action, please give me the full control. So and the director, he said, no, I want to give everything, because he doesn't know how to shoot action. Please do everything. Peter Torwart, he's one of the amazing German director I ever met in Germany, who is very humbled, grounded. He did like Bang Boom Bang, quite culture, classic movies in Germany back then. He gave me the freedom, and he wants to do a commercial movie. He wants to do a franchise. He like John Wick style in the Second War, you know, like this kind of genre to have fun on screen.
And that was for me
perfect. Who is fighting for those stuff, so, like a genre? And then we had a very good friend, since then a good friendship now, and also a good work together.
You must have been happy when you saw Max in Mortal Kombat, or if you see, you know, Andy in, you know,
Accident Man.
Accident Man 2,
Max, Andy, and Lawrence. But us, like, very, why we are all the same generation or same mindset is because we are coming from like guerrilla filmmaking, independent, same with cyberpunk. This is a non-profit project, same with Star Wars, our Darth Maul apprentice with Sean.
Projects,
like, it's only about passion, and we want to create something without bullshit, without people telling us no, you can't do that, you can blah, 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 or it's too expensive. It's just have a good ride with people and friends, and it's only about learning, education, and developing their skills. And then for the team, for example, I've told everyone who will support, especially Cyberpunk, I will help them to, if they want to learn about lighting, then I give them all freedom, my knowledge. I teach them why we are shooting, why we're prepping, why we're doing whatever. And for me, Cyberpunk is a very important project. It's just because we had like so much fun and ego-free process and time. It's like we go on the school trip, and we had 150 people who is supporting us. And that was amazing vibe and a positive energy. And that's the reason that project is very, very important for me.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome work. And I know you had a lot of trouble there with that, because that was right in the thick of COVID as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I want to know, I mean, you're so fortunate you all sort of found each other, but I'm guessing it's one of those things where if you're growing up in Germany and you're a big fan, I'm guessing all you guys were just, you know, big, you know, Kung Fu movie fans, Jackie Chan fans, or at least a fan of that Hong Kong style action. Is that fair to say, Vidan? Did you you loved watching that growing up, that style of action?
Yes, 100%. Like 80s, 90s, Hong Kong, Jackie, all the movies. We are the experts about, like, knowledge wise. We watched all the movies, and that makes us also like so close, because we are so same. But we live in a different city, like
different cities,
quite far away. Like Andy, like 400 kilometers. Max now from Nuremberg, also 600. Back then, right now, everyone moved again. But we are not really close by, like always 5-6 hours drive. And but still, we have the communication and trying to create something cool together, and we are supporting each other. And I think what's also very amazing now, because back then when we started to know each other, even included me, we wanted to be on the screen. So everyone's like, I'm on the screen. Who's to play the bad guy? Who's, you know, all of that, right? Yeah. And but now, after we become older, we're seeing, okay, everyone going a different way. And especially for me, I'm more now, even more behind the camera, which is, of course, serves the other guys more. But I see in the future, and that's why we are now still trying and discussing to do something bigger together. again.
Great.
Because now, for example, I want Andy and Lawrence and or even Max, I want them to grow and be in front of camera. And definitely. It's not about, okay, who's the winner, who's now the back main character or the back character. It's not about that. It's just to have, again, creating something. And now, with all our support, because everyone, individual, are strong as they are now, just
absolutely.
Now, we learn.
Absolutely.
Especially Andy is also doing a lot of Indian action movies.
Right. Uncle, please don't hurt him.
Get him!
You guys are sort of the first generation, the YouTube generation.
Yes.
So before you guys, I guess it would have been the, you know, say someone like a Scott Adkins would have grown up watching the B-movies or the straight-to-video stuff. And then it seemed like such a harder way into the industry there, you know, trying to make connections and send tapes off to producers or whatever. But I guess you guys were sort of self-made, self-taught. You just grabbed a camera and learnt the skills, put it out on YouTube, and that's how you built your following, wasn't
it? Yes. I mean, 100%, you can just say it like that. I mean, it's also a wrong term to say. For some people, for example, our Star Wars Darth Maul Apprentice, which hits, I think, over 30 million views or something like that. It's quite a lot.
Incredible.
But people are saying, wow, okay, because of that, now you are on Dune. Now you are working on Shang-Chi, or you worked on Shang-Chi and whatever. But unfortunately, to say it, it wasn't the case.
Yeah.
I mean, we had opportunities, like meetings. We went to Los Angeles, ICM, UTA. We had like all production to meet. They wanted to learn why we were able to do a movie like that without money. And that was it. I mean, there wasn't really like, okay, here you get a new job, boom. And never was it this case. In the end of the day, it was like still trying to grind, like, hey, hustle and flow. We have to keep pushing. We have to keep working. And also, it doesn't mean we have to have more views. It was more about, hey, no, we're just doing it, and potentially the people come to us. And then all of a sudden, hey, I saw this thing, blah, blah, blah. What do you think, if, whatever. And that was the case, yes, exactly. But with YouTube, back then, and now it's changed again because all the viral and the influencers,
social
is different
media.
Now. Yeah, social media is just different now. But it's still, for me, I won't give up to still produce cool shit and short films or whatever, or fan films, because in the end of the day, it's more for the community, which I feel. Yeah. If we can inspire other people or young filmmakers with our craft, then that's the best prize, I would say.
Yeah. And you would still recommend that as a route to people looking to, I guess, build their skills, but get noticed and get into the industry. Is it important to be producing, uploading, adding stuff to YouTube? Is it still seen as the place to go to, do you think?
I mean, it's a very tricky question, because that's the thing, that don't do it, that's what I would say, don't do it just to have the agenda or the goal to get seen.
Yeah,
I think that's the wrong term. Like, you should do it because you want to learn. You have to do it, and also your craft, of course, it has to go out. Why? Because the people have to see it, and then they have to judge it. They have to give you feedback, and if something become viral, then you know you did something good, or you did something right in the right way. That's what you need, definitely. Like, even viral means also sometimes more than 10,000 views, not like millions. It's just really like 10,000, 20,000, and then from there on, you have to build up, or you have to go more. Like, what, with one video is not enough. You have to do at least 10, 15, whatever. You have to keep maintaining, and crafting, and learning. That's what I would say. And then potentially, some of it come and we'll see, or you will have some discussion. And it's not about a producer come to you, oh, yeah, take $10 million, do a movie. It could be, yes, but it's not the case. And you shouldn't expect that. What you should expect is, hey, I saw your craft. Let's have a talk. What about this and that? And then potentially, hey, can you surf? I'm really using this term now. Could you see to surf for my production or for my movie to do this and that? And then, of course, negotiation. How much money? We have only this. It's just a low budget. Fuck it. It doesn't matter. Do it. Because you have to have built up a circle or a community, a network. That's what I would say. That's the proper bridge. And it takes time.
And do you notice this as well, Vidam, working in the industry, that sometimes, you know, the casting can be done or people are treated more favorably if they've actually got a lot of followers on social media? Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes you think, is this person the best person for the role, or is this just because they've got several million followers? That's the other side of the argument, isn't it? Like, you know,
so, no, for me, I actually am not supporting this. Like social media in general, I stuck for a while too. Like especially because I'm also in the generation where YouTube or Instagram, whatever, wasn't like that. How it is today, right? In the beginning, you couldn't even earn money with YouTube. That area, I started with this area, and it was so easy to get more views and to spread your videos. But now I think it's toxic. It's really toxic, and you have to be like, as a filmmaker, you have to be careful. That's also why I want to talk about the stunt and doing the camera shooting, the style, how they're shooting, because they see other people doing this and get inspired, and then they think that's the right way. But for me, for example, I'm seeing it more as a filmmaker. First of all, I study Greg Fraser, I study Danny, I study other people first, the director, what's in his other movies, how he shot action, what he really wants to see. Then I will apply the style of shooting to the previous. So let's say there's no camera. Okay, he doesn't like less than 21 mil. Then I shoot only 35, 50 mil. Then he's shooting mostly traditional coverage. That means for me, okay, I use only dolly, or use only jib arm, or I go only for wider shots, and so on. So that's, I think that's the biggest issue, difference. Definitely what also people as filmmaker has to be aware. It's not all about action. You always have to do your homework and your studies first.
Now listen, Shaolin is closed. All of you will leave immediately.
I want to talk about Jackie Chan. We have to talk about Jackie Chan. I mean, gosh. So Jackie Chan, stunt team member from 2016. Do you remember the first time you met Jackie? What was the situation?
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. It was incredible. I can't remember. Definitely. My idol, first idol. I'm not first idol, to be honest. My first idol is actually Jet Li. It's just because I was also doing wushu, and then I saw Jet Li's movie, and it was like, it's amazing, martial artist, performer. Of course, Jackie is also top number two at least. When I saw him at the Foreigner in London, the very first time, I was speechless. I mean, it was crazy. I saw him just in front of me, and I saw that person who changed everyone's life, even including myself. And I saw all the movies, what he have done in my head, like a flashback by a scene. And then he came over and just tapped me on my shoulder. Oh, welcome. And then he went. And for me, it was like, that was the biggest moment ever. It's crazy. Jackie, I have to say, also to admit, Andy and Max, for example, they have a proper bonding with Jackie. How they became the stunt members, it was incredible. For me, it was like they're a little bit easier run.
Because when Max was on this podcast, he told this story about handing tapes to Jaden Smith at the premiere of Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Were you there for that?
No, I wasn't.
Is this
there.
Right? No.
That's their story, yes.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then they managed to get word and then went through to Jackie. So, but I mean, what was your route into the team then for that?
For me, it was actually not that excited, really. Like their story is amazing. How I came in was definitely through Max and Andy. 100%. That's why I'm always say, because they recommended me when they were there. Gong Hua, that's my mentor, is also a stunt coordinator from Jackie. He contacted me way before 2013 for another show, for a TV show in China. And then he wanted to do it good again for me, so he called me for The Foreigner. And with The Foreigner, when I came there, for me, it was a very great movie. But when I was there, in the first place, I was also hired as a camera action guy. And then I helped them creating all previous choreos, etc. And then they saw the benefits. Because again, even in China, even working with Jackie, because Andy and Max as well, they want to be with Jackie in front of camera. I think for me, it was, I don't care. I go back. Okay, go. Yeah. I shoot you guys. Because again, for me, it's always the serving perspective. And that was Gong Hua saw. And then, then became all of a sudden after the hard work, then a team member.
And seeing Jackie on set and seeing how he works, you worked, so The Foreigner and Bleeding Steel as well, so they're both 2017. What did you learn from working so close up with him?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, he is still, with his age, he still performs incredible. How he moves, of course, it's like not like when he was 20 or 30, but it's still so inspiring. He's so still fast. His condition, like stamina, is still good, and he's very professional. It's amazing. It's amazing to see. It's like, again, it's like you see a legend just live. I think also the philosophy and then the workflow, how they work. It is more what I'm also looking for. Like again, like Hong Kong, China style, it's super efficient, super fast. There's no bullshit. Like straightforward. Everyone has to work. Everyone has to do something. Guan Hua, he always forced us. Not forcing, but he's expecting us the best because we are Jackie Chan's stunt team. Back then and that day, I wasn't at all a member. I told him, hey, I'm here just helping you, but I'm not a member because I don't want to claim. No, it would be nice, but I saw myself only who's working with the stunt team. But he was always, when we came out, when we went out to dinner, everything, it's like almost 20 hours days with him. Because you have to do the job, then in the end he wants to go for lunch or eat dinner. And then we as a team are also like entourage, like a bodyguard. So we have to, we have to go always, we have to always go with him. And he is presenting us always as his team. And I felt, in that time, I felt, why, how can I deserve that? I'm not, like, I'm not just here. I just passed by, like this kind of feeling.
I guess if he called you up or if you were to go back and work on a new project, I guess you'd be there straight away.
Yeah, I mean, you have definitely a loyalty. Soon, but in 2017, when we had like this big ceremony and everything became official, I felt my duty 100%. I feel like, hey, that's a great chance and it's a great opportunity to claim or to say, hey, I'm one of the JC stunt team member.
Yeah.
And me personally, I'm not actually the other one. No one's actually in person in contact with Jackie, but we have always a contact with his assistant, Dorothy.
Yeah.
With her, we discuss everything. So last time, for example, for a couple of weeks ago, she contacted us because of a new book, which comes out by like updated book, and then needs some information, whatever, and also what I'm doing at the moment to update that.
Yeah.
So we will for a long time, forever, we will be apart. But same for Andy Chang, he lives now in Los Angeles. Still, they have in contact with that girl and with Dorothy. But he does also his own stuff. For example, I represent always JC. So if JC stunt team, so if I work somewhere as a coordinator again or whatever, and then I always present as a JC. I'm not doing it as individual or saying, hey, it's me, be done. So I know I'm one of the parts, so I represent him.
Is that one-eyed bastard here? Who the hell are you? You dare call our boss that?
We've got to talk about Shang-Chi as well. Loved Shang-Chi. I think it's fantastic. It's one of the best Marvel films for a very long time.
Wow.
Just cool. Working on that movie. And again, that's Jackie Chan stunt team alumni. It's Andy Cheng. It's Brad Allen, yourself. I mean, what was that like? Because it is a very Jackie Chan inspired style choreography, isn't it? Would you agree with that? I mean, that was my take on that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, totally.
What was that experience like to work on a big movie like that?
Also, it's incredible. Like to have the chance to, because Brad and I, we knew each other just for quiet, but not really. We weren't really close. But then with Chang-Chi, he tries to quote me back then for Wonder Woman, for Kingsman. But it was But at that time, I mentioned that I got called by Dagger, and I have to go with him. And he said, okay, if Dagger, no, go. Then you have to go with that. Then so that's the reason it clashed a little bit, and I never had a chance to join him with Kingsman. But then later here with Chang-Chi, to have finally the opportunity, so he brought me in. He called me, contacted me because of the action design. He wants to have. We were four action designer. And in general, Chang-Chi was definitely one of the best also experience I had, just in terms of working pressure, challenging yourself even higher, because Brad Allen, he's demanding a lot, and it's very, very stressful. Like not in working wise, it's just stressful because the opinion, the level you have to reach, even if you reach the level, you have to to go above your restriction, your limits. And that was always very, very, very hard. And it was, for me, very, a nice experience to find myself, to work with the best people in the industry, I would say. When I think of Chang-Chi, I feel also, especially for martial arts movie, that's the highest goal what a martial arts movie can really reach. Yeah. There's nothing else that can top it. I mean, it doesn't matter with the movie or the action, right? But it's just because it's Marvel, it's Disney, it's the biggest franchise that ever exists at the moment. Box office, the numbers, whatever, everything. Plus, it is a martial arts movie, and not an action movie who they can do martial arts or something like that. It is about martial arts and China's culture. Yeah. That's the big thing, and I feel like that's a very important movie.
Well, it had all of it, didn't it? It had a sort of wuxia reference at the start with a lot of the Tai Chi movements, that wonderful sequence at the start with Tony Leung. And then you've got that wonderful, the Jackie Chan style fight there that's on the bus. That scaffold fights. I mean, gosh, I just love this. this movie. So as an action designer then, are you literally there with a blank page and you're figuring out, well, how is Shang-Chi going to move? You know, how is Tony Leung's character going to move?
Yeah.
How, you know, is you're literally there from day one trying to figure that out then, are you?
Yeah, I mean, not specific me, but in general, yes, that's the work we have done. Like Pong and Chris, they creating the wuxia mom versus dad scene.
Yeah.
And also, but exactly what you said, the whole style, developing the style from the bus. I was also involved in the bus scene with Andy Cheng, and it was crazy how much time and energy we spent to find the right style. Like, is it Hungar style? Is it Silat style? Everything.
Yeah.
We explored everything. But again, what you said, it is, those scene is definitely as inspired by Jackie. Like, and the good thing is, like, because we are Jackie Chan stunt team, that's the reason there was no, they stole it from Jackie or something like that. Because no, we had the privilege to claim that also our style. And that's also amazing, because back to our roots, that what we really like and love is the Hong Kong style. And to bring it for the bus team was amazing.
And Simu Liu did a good job?
Yeah, he did really well.
Yeah.
He is a good guy, really one of the good Yeah, good actor design actually meant.
Yeah.
No, he's really a cool guy.
And just memories, I guess, of working with Brad Allen. We sadly lost Brad Allen. I'm not sure if he saw the finished film even. I'm not sure if the film had even come out at that stage. But just memories of Brad. I mean, he's such, you know, we've lost an amazing talent there, haven't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
At that time when we had the information, the call from Mark Ginter, his partner, we were together with Andy Cheng in Budapest, in Senseya, and we were just to shoot. And we got a call, and it destroys him. I mean, he was emotional.
Yeah,
that was not really, really nice moment to see also my brother.
Yeah.
He really broke, because they were very close. No, they were very close back then.
Yeah. It was such a shock hearing the news as well. But I think just because, you know, Shang-Chi was billed as, you know, a really big movie for him as well. I know he's done such great work on all the Kingsman movies, but also, you know, breaking into Marvel and it's just so sad. But but to have worked with him must have been an amazing experience as well, I'd imagine, for Dan to have been able to do that.
It's incredible, because he is the master of everything.
Yeah,
because he did everything what he done was always in the highest level.
Yeah,
and that was just amazing. Inspiring. And again, like when I saw him, he has an aura. It's like very intimidating. So I was there. I feel like, it's brilliant. It's always. And when we have to present our previous, we had like a meeting room. Everyone's drawing. Everyone has given the feedback or whatever. It's kind of like you go back to school again and has a test. You know, hey, this is crazy. Yeah. And there's a professor or the teacher, and then you get scolded or you get props, and you're like a kid again. It's really amazing. Yeah. For me, it's always about challenge, and that was the best experience.
So looking ahead now, because I know you've directed a lot of short films, I guess that the goal really is to move into a feature film, to direct your own feature film project. Is that
Is that on
the horizon?
That's my main goal.
Do you have ideas, concepts? Do you have a story that you feel you really want to tell? You probably don't want to tell me if you do.
No, good.
Do you have dream projects in mind?
Not really in specific at the moment, because I'm really jumping on and off on jobs at the moment and or projects, like constant. Now, like last year, for example, I was, I think, only 2 or 3 weeks at home the whole year. But I do have some concepts and ideas. And there's one which I feel I really want to do it, but it's nothing with action. It's more a drama thing.
Okay.
But it's an emotional story which I would like to tell and to show the people. But let's see, because I don't know if it's just really a movie, a TV show, or if it's only a short. But everyone's telling me, when is the time to let you direct your own feature? Everyone's telling me that. And I know, and I feel it also. I want to do, but I feel sometimes also insecure by myself.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I have to commit for 2 or 3 years to say, okay, I go only for developing. And then from there, I'm going to shoot. And then another 2 years, 1 or 2 years until the movie can come out. So you spend like 5 years or 6 years on a project. And this commitment, I don't know if I'm strong or patient enough to do it at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I want to. That's true. I want, definitely want.
Absolutely.
To.
Well, man, get Max and get Andy and set up in Germany, get a martial arts movie done. I mean, that was, I'd certainly be, championing that idea. But
Have you heard about Plan B?
Plan, I have, and I've heard it's being remade. They're remaking it.
That's crazy. That's incredible. I mean, I was very happy really with, for the guys. I know them also very well.
Thank you so much for chatting to me today, and all the best. And
thank you.
You know, just keep going. You're doing great work.
Oh, awesome! Thank you very much. Okay.
Cool. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye bye. Vidan Tran there. Great to talk to Vidan, incredibly gifted fight choreographer and action filmmaker. Surely it's just a matter of time before we see Vidan stepping up into the director's chair on a feature film. That would be great to see. Some Vidan Tran notes. Halo is available on Paramount Plus. Season 2 has been confirmed, no release date as yet. Dune Part 2 lands in March next year, 15th of March 2024. Knights of the Zodiac is out now on digital platforms. There's a review on kungfumovieguide.com. I'll be sure to put a link to that in the description. And that German war movie that Vidan mentioned there, it's called Blood and Gold, and that's out now on Netflix. Get all the latest Vidan Tran news on Instagram at V_Dan. That's V_DAN. I'll also add a link to the YouTube channel for his own production company that he runs with Sean Bew. That is called T7 Productions. Link also to that available in the description. And that is a wrap for today's show. Another double bill. Thank you so much to both of my guests, Lorenz Hideyoshi and Vidan Tran. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. And a huge thank you, of course, to you, the loyal Foo follower, who has listened to this episode all the way to the very end. Thank you so much. In return, we'll do it all again in 2 weeks' time with another brand new episode of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. In the meantime, do take it easy, stay safe, be well, take care, and in the immortal words of the great Lauren Avedon, keep kicking. Bye for now.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.